While thousands of sailors and soldiers, American sailors and soldiers, are being sent towards Israel in preparation for World War III, which could happen at any moment, a coming war with Iran that, of course, Israel desperately wants. Benjamin Netanyahu has told us many times in front of Congress that he desperately wants the United States to take out Iran, as we've done in Libya and Iraq. Iran was the third one on his list that he wants us to do that. So should Americans die for Israel's war against Iran, are we about to see a massive false flag operation that would harm American soldiers? Former CIA agent Larry Johnson joins us now. He has been outspoken on this from the very beginning, that Americans should not be involved in this and we should not be there. And he joins us now. Larry, great to see you. It seems like we're on the precipice.
Yeah, we're staring World War III in the face. This is alarming. The movement of U.S. forces that's underway tells you that this is the movement of these forces is not a reaction to what happened. It is it was pre-planned. In other words, because this is not like you call up Domino's and order a pizza. Hey, you know, I need a pepperoni in 30 minutes, and they whip it up and deliver it. First of all, you got all these sailors and Marines that have to be alerted to get on board ships, and those ships have to be stocked and supplied. They're not. Some are sitting there ready to go, but some aren't. If they're being, you know, if they've been out at sea. So the fact that you've now got three carrier task force groups moving into that region, plus the one that caught my eye was the announcement that you had this Marine. It's basically a Marine Expeditionary Unit, what they call a MEU. That's a package of about 4,000 Marines, and their job to do what they call non-combatant evacuation operations, so or a NEO, you know, dump all the military acronyms on you. So we got the MEU doing the NEO, and the NEO is there for, people like in Lebanon or in Israel who can't get out because all the airports are shut. This will allow those ships to go in and load up American citizens and others wanting to flee the region. So that was pre-positioned. I mean, that's what caught my eye. That I think that my own view is there's a preemptive war coming, and it's going to be struck by the West, not by Iran.
Well, as we see this too, we also have reporting today from Dave DeCamp over at antiwar.com, Israel considering a preemptive strike against Iran. So this sort of preemption, this idea that they are going to attack and we need to be out in front of this, I think this is really scary for a lot of Americans who are familiar with false flag attacks. I felt like dusting off my USS Liberty hat to wear for this segment today. To remind Americans, the last time in 1967, when U.S. sailors were sat right there and used as target practice, killed by Israel, attacked by Israel in order to draw the United States into a war against Egypt. Of course, your old organization, right, the CIA, was actively involved in that. Of course, we know. But so are we about to see another USS Liberty false flag operation using American soldiers and sailors sitting there on American aircraft carriers in order to draw us into a war against Iran? What is your sense of that? Or because we're calling it out, maybe we won't have it happen.
So much a false flag as it is that Israel's sort of schizophrenic politically, militarily. On the one hand, they carry out this pre-planned assassination of Hania, the lead negotiator, in Tehran. So it's a clear violation of international law. It's a terrorist act. That's what it is. If Iran had done that to Israel, we'd be calling it international terrorism. So let's call it what it is. It was a terrorist attack by Israel. And Israel's been guilty of several terrorist attacks in Iran, but we just don't call them that. Plus, the United States has been backing a group called the MEK, the Mujahideen al-Haq, who is M-E-K. They were on our terrorist list when I was working the issue. You know, they were sort of a Marxist, it sounds crazy, a Marxist Islamist group, but they were radical against the Shia Islamists that took over Iran. We took them off the list and started giving them money, for God's sake. So we back terrorists in the United States. So here it is. Israel conducts this terrorist attack. And then Iran says it's going to retaliate. And then Israel goes, well, by God, we're going to preempt that retaliation. So they're trying to play the victim while they're also the aggressor. They're both in this case. Right. Wild card here that makes it so dangerous is the fact that Iran has at least a 5-year mutual defense relationship with Russia and China. They started conducting their first joint military exercises in 2019. Now, and that to conduct that in 2019 meant that they started planning for it in like 2018. Well, that you had Sergei Shoigu, the former defense minister, who's now sort of Putin's national security advisor, personal advisor. He went to Tehran 2 days ago. There have been significant airlift traffic between Moscow and Tehran. The speculation is that it's bringing in electronic warfare capabilities. It's also probably bringing in S-400 air systems. And you've got Shoigu consulting with the Iranians on both trying to understand what they're going to do, understand what they'll do, make sure that it doesn't necessarily get out of control. But with the United States moving aircraft carriers in there, the only message that Iran can take out of there is the United States is preparing to launch airstrikes in Iran.
So the United States launches airstrikes in Iran. What then does Russia do in response? Russia there, of course, you mentioned meeting in Tehran. Is this where World War III begins? Is in the Middle East? It doesn't happen on the battlefield in Ukraine. It doesn't happen in Africa, where we've come face to face with Russian soldiers. It happens in the Middle East.
Yeah, no, potentially. I mean, that's what, you know, we're living through a period, I'm approaching 70 years of age, so I'm an old guy. This never been this dangerous, this fraught with peril. And even the Cuban Missile Crisis, because, you know, adding to these tensions in the Middle East with the likelihood that Iran is going to hit Israel and hit Israel hard this time, the United States is going to try to do what it can to stop some of the inbound drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles. But in response to that, any attacks upon a Russian asset will elicit a Russian military response. You know, the American people don't realize that over the last 8 years, the Russians have shot down in Syria about 5 U.S. drones. We're not talking Syrians shooting them down. We're talking the Russians have shot them down because the U.S. drones, Predator drones, have strayed into territory that the Russians said, hey, this is ours. You come into our territory, you're ours. Shot them down. We haven't heard a word about that, but that's what, you know, that's been going on behind the scenes. So Russia has vowed that it's going to equip people like the Iranians and the Houthis with weapons that can hit U.S. assets in response to what the United States has done by equipping Ukraine to hit and kill Russian citizens. So we're entering a new level of conflict.
So for people that watch and they say, well, you know, any sort of dissent, any sort of saying that Americans shouldn't go and die for Israel is anti-Semitic. That's my favorite. I mean, that is the dumbest of all statements, right? But I just cannot wrap my head around how anyone could justify, if you're a United States citizen, if you're an American, what benefit you would get for the United States of America to go and die and fight for Israel, or go and die and fight in the Middle East against Iran and getting dragged into a massive regional war. What benefit does the United States have by going there and dying for this cause?
Well, it's not, and let's be specific about the cause we're being asked to die for. This is not about defending freedom. This is not about preventing Jews from being executed in gas chambers. This is about a group of people, these radical Zionists that are represented by the likes of just not only Bibi Netanyahu, but Itamar Ben-Gavir and Bezalel Smotrich. These people call for and celebrate the rape of Palestinians. I mean, literally raping them. They had a, they, They say that they're entitled to do that. They storm prisons and want to rape, you know, using both brooms as well as themselves to violate Palestinian men, Palestinian women. I mean, it's sickening. It is, it's controversial to say, but this is this group of Zionists, because I don't want to call them Israelis, because there are a number of Israelis that oppose this and that speak out in opposition to it. But these extreme Zionists represent the very thing that they claim that they were fighting against in World War II. They're acting and behaving like Nazis, like this the SS camp guards, in terms of their treatment of prisoners, their wanton execution of women and children. It's horrific. And so, no, America shouldn't stand for that at all. And yet, what we have, as you've reported several times on your show, the money machine from the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, the AIPAC, has been pouring money in to defeat candidates that are not genuflecting before the blue and white flag of Israel.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And well, that's why there's tens of thousands of people protesting in Tel Aviv against these radical Zionists, against the Netanyahu regime. Right. But the Western media will not cover that story at all, of course. They won't cover that story, but we will. And Larry Johnson is always great to have on the show and really shed some truth on us a little bit. Larry, great to see you as always. I hope you guys stay safe down there. I know you were just dealing with Hurricane Debbie. Hopefully you guys dodged quite a bullet down there. I know you had like a foot of water and everything. Hope you guys are doing okay.
Doing all right. Thank you.